And your forecast for Bloomington here on Thursday, it's absolutely perfect. That's all you need to know. 79 in sunshine, 54 tonight, nice and cool. Maybe not even a day you need air conditioning. The next chance of rain is Monday. Everything else is in the upper 70s, low 80s, and mid 50s overnight. Updated forecast and live radar, find it all at WGCLRadio.com. 8:36. Shut up. 8:36. I make mistakes.
No, dude. You didn't. You know, it's 7:30 someplace.
You know what I was thinking of? Yeah. $700 million in Powerball that I didn't collect, and I'm here at work today.
Yeah, seven was in there somewhere.
The sobering reality is we are all putting our pants on and going to work today, except that one person in Massachusetts who has claimed that grandiose prize, El Gordo. That's what they call it in Spain.
Is it almost three-quarters of a million? Of a billion?
Yeah, of a billion. Billion. That'd be a nice budget to have for the city this year, wouldn't it, Mick? Three-quarters of $1 billion? You guys could get some stuff done there, huh?
We could get some stuff done for several years with that kind of winnings, for sure.
That's exactly right. The FedEx playoffs begin today at the Glen Oaks Club in lovely Old Westbury, New York. The top 120 players in the FedEx playoffs, that's who qualifies. 125, five are not playing this week. And a new course to the rotation, which usually means when they stick a new course in there, we're going to see lots and lots of birdies. Are you concerned about Rory McIlroy's injury moving forward?
Well, yeah. I mean, he's been kind of prone to injuries. You kind of wonder if he's not doing a little Tiger Woods type things.
Young athletes
can overdo it, and sometimes those, you know, the back is very delicate part of our structure, and I don't know that bode well for Tiger. I hope Rory's not headed down the same path.
The ferocity in which they swing the club would make you think, how could their back not be bothered? But we'll see the golf take place. Brand new track, first of four FedEx Cup playoff events, and then have a little President's Cup, a week of the offseason, and we'll be right back at it. We're not here to talk about golf. We give you just a little heads up on that as we catch up with the deputy mayor of the city of Bloomington, our good friend Mick Renhuizen. Obviously, the big story wasn't Sunday's paper about the Graduate Hotel and perhaps how that has moved forward throughout the channels. We have seen the part of the issue was we had a deal in place, we agreed to a deal in place, and then it's stated that after that deal was agreed to, we needed some more deal in place. Give us the city's angle on this as the Graduate Hotel program or project has been stalled. It hasn't gotten on pace perhaps at the time we wanted. Where are we and how did we get to this point?
Well, I guess if you rewind, when the Plan Commission in 2015 approved it, the developer didn't come forward immediately after that and ask for a building permit, and didn't immediately come and ask for how they were going to mitigate utilizing the right-of-way to build a very big structure on Kirkwood. So I can't speak to that time frame. We weren't in office at that time. But we do know once they started applying for a right-of-way permit, I don't have the actual dates for that. I want to get that for the public because I think there's a kind of a missing piece of the story there.
Well, that's why we talked to you on
Thursday. We didn't delay anything until they did the proper thing to apply for when they were ready to build, and it's not uncommon for a developer to get approval and wait quite some time before they initiate construction. And I thought today's editorial kind of missed out on the fact that there was no delay from the city side at the beginning gap between 2015 and present until that official process of applying for a building permit and use of the right-of-way. So let's talk about use of the right-of-way. That's the same time frame that our administration asked to meet with the developer. As the project began to become real with the application of the right-of-way process, the use of Kirkwood and Lincoln Street is an issue. They're going to build right up to basically the curb line. It's going to interfere with traffic, commerce, pedestrians, bicyclists up and down Kirkwood and on Lincoln for 15 to 18 months. I would hope that citizens and businesses would want the city to be mindful of the impact before just allowing a developer to negatively impact those rights of way. So the initial proposal from the developer used Kirkwood much more significantly than we thought was appropriate. And we wanted to get them to use Lincoln as more of the way to drop off and unload equipment and materials to build a six-story building. It takes time to work through those. The developer had to make some counterproposals. The city was working on that with our engineer and our planning department. Now, at the same time, the mayor, who has expressed during his campaign, he did not like the project, had asked to meet with the developer. The developer had met with him early in 2016 and then not again until recently. The developer said he wanted to do public art. The mayor asked him how much and offered a 1.5% as a benchmark. The developer said, I don't know about that number, but I think we're going to do a significant amount, and agreed to in a MOU separate from this right-of-way process just to memorialize what they were going to do anyway. The suggestions that we had an architect review their building plan and said, would you make any suggestions? We realize the developer doesn't have to do any of them. They've got their approval. They were just suggestions. The developer said, thanks, I'll take those into consideration. I haven't ordered my building materials yet. In fact, I was going to use some things maybe a little differently than my original drawing from 2 years ago was presented. So thanks for the free advice, basically. So I don't really find all the information that the public might have seen so far to be quite directly in sync with what I know from being in the meeting and from just knowing the steps of the process that happened to happen along the way. So that's the city side of the story.
Well, that's interesting because that's what we want. And as you mentioned, that is different from perhaps what we've seen. What brought this to the forefront? What was the genesis behind it? Because it seems like there is art getting done. It's maybe not as much as the city wanted, but they're doing some. What's, is it the deal brokering that people have the issue with?
I think so. I think that's what the chamber represented in their comments, is they feel like there was some sort of influence purveyed at the end of the process that was going to hold up the project. I just don't think that's accurate. It's certainly reasonable for city engineering and planning to review the use of public right-of-way. That happens all the time for a big project. It's going to take longer to get that through, particularly when it's on iconic Kirkwood with a lot of businesses that might be impacted. So I just think that it's, you look at projects and you can't say, well, this one only took 2 weeks to get through the right-of-way process and this one took 2 months, so you're holding them hostage. Well, no. This project is, you know, one level. It's a six-month build, and the project we're talking about is six stories, the highest storage structure on Kirkwood, and it's going to take 15 to 18 months. Those are different things that require different and more thorough review and careful consideration of how they're going to impact the downtown.
Well, we appreciate you explaining your angle of it, your side of that story. Mick Renheisen's our guest this morning. He's the deputy mayor of the city of Bloomington, Keith Klein.
And Mick, you've got some announcements about the comprehensive master plan, because that's another issue that people will have an opportunity to speak to and about.
Yeah, I think that's a really important segue from what we just talked about. So predictability in the planning process has been criticized for years. I've been with the city for 37 years, not in this role, obviously, until recently. However, I've always heard people complain about what they think is a relatively unpredictable way of getting projects approved. And there's normally tension between developers and regulators, right? That's not unusual anywhere. So this comprehensive plan is important because it leads to unified development ordinance changes, which is really how our built environment takes place. We would tell you that we think our process has room for improvement and more predictability, and we're working towards that. And one of those first steps requires the approval of the Comprehensive Master Plan, which is the guiding document for the built environment for the next 10 to 15 years. Plan Commission approved it. It's now in the City Council's hands. The City Council is going to hear, review the plan in chapters starting Tuesday, August 29th at 6:30 in the Council Chambers. This first chapter is the downtown, probably the most important, most impactful element of the review process for the comprehensive plan. And, you know, citizens, developers want to come in and talk about how they think this comprehensive plan is, you know, hitting the mark or not hitting the mark for future development. You need to come and attend these meetings, because after this is approved, it'll be amendments to the Unified Development Ordinance, which will determine the future process of how structures are built in our community. So this is just the first of six. They'll also be holding meetings in September on the 12th, in October on the 10th and the 24th, and finally November 7th and 15th are the final meetings. So it's going to take a while to get all those steps approved, but this is a really important document, and we do hope people come out and comment at these council meetings that are upcoming.
Now, Mick, when you say future, how far in the future is this plan going to cover?
You know, generally these are 10 to 15 year plans.
Right.
I think one of the mistakes that can be made is If you see conditions change dramatically from what your plan, your approved plan suggests you wanted to have happen, then you need to modify the plan a little quicker. I think we got stuck in this last one that we're in now with a little longer time frame than it was intended to be. And I'll just give you the example of downtown and student housing.
Right.
We asked for that 17 years ago. I think we found the answer. We got it. We got it in droves, maybe too much. Maybe the balance is a little tipped too far. And as a result, this new plan and this certainly this downtown chapter, you know, are going to address, well, what do we see now? What do we want to see the downtown look like 10 to 15 years from now? Is there too much student housing? What do we need in balance? We know we want the university to grow. We know it has to have housing. We know the university doesn't want to put more housing on its own campus. That means it's going to come in the community. If not downtown, where? That's a legitimate question. So that's what these chapters and the plan and then the following UDO are intended to discuss and give us some direction for the future.
Mick, one of the things that people ask for something, hey, we need new streets and our new paving in our area. We got a little bit of a problem here in Bloomington with what do you call it, the milling machine?
Right. So the city
explain this.
The milling machine is the machine that I would say kind of looks like it raked all of the pavement off, and it leaves this scarified look, kind of rigid lines in the pavement.
It's scraper. I call it a scraper,
That's a good term for it. It's a scraper. It's kind of like what you use on ball fields.
It scrapes off the asphalt. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And so when it leaves that, that helps the new pavement adhere to the scarified surface. So you scrape it down a few inches, take off the old, put on the new. We've been renting a milling machine, and it's been, unfortunately, not very reliable. And so we ended up deciding to maximize the amount of pavement miles we can lay this pavement season. We went ahead and contracted with the milling company to come out and do the work. Of course, they want to do it all at once. So there's many streets that are milled now that will remain in that milled state longer than we'd like. We usually try to pave right after we mill. But because of this problem we're experiencing with the rented miller and use of a contracted miller, there's going to be some streets that are going to be in that scarified condition, you know, for maybe a week, 10 days, 2 weeks.
Longer than normal.
We can get the pavers there. Longer than normal. Mm-hmm. We just want to let the people know that. That's not normal.
All right. And the city knows about it, but, you know, you give a little to get a little.
We'll get more pavement miles in the long run, and that was our plan. Our crews went to 4 10-day shifts this year to try to lay more pavement as well instead of 5 8-day shifts, and we're seeing positive results of more pavement miles. Unfortunately, the milling is, caused another challenge, but we'll get through it. We just wanted people to know this is an abnormal condition. We hope to not have this in the future.
You had a couple of quick things for the parks.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things going on this weekend. There's a free movie in Butler Park, Star Wars, The Force Awakens. That's Reverend Ernest Butler Park or 9th Street Park. That's at 8:15 on Saturday. There's also an event in Waldron Hill and Buskirk Park, formerly known as 3rd Street Park, this Sunday when the Bloomington Symphony Orchestra will perform at 6:30. So if you want to go to the parks, there's a couple of activities there. And don't forget that Brian Pool is still open. Mills Pool is not.
That's right. And weekend hours are the same. Weekday hours, check before you head over there. And glad those pools are heated when it's down to 53
degrees.
You're
not going to have the 90-degree thing anymore.
well, you did on Sunday. On Monday you did. So welcome to Indiana. That's how our weather works. Mick, we'll get to trivia next week. We're low on time, but we really appreciate that detailed explanation of the graduate program. And we'll put that up on our website, WGCL Radio, a little bit later for everybody to review if they need
and
to do
so. Thanks for asking those questions, guys. I appreciate it. Certainly people are entitled to their opinions about all these. We respect those. But I appreciate that you asked for the other side of the story.
Excellent, Mick. Great job as always. We'll talk to you next week on College Game Day.
That's exciting.
It is. Bring your candy stripe pants next week. Thanks, buddy.
Have a good one, guys.
Mick Renheisen, the deputy mayor of the city of Bloomington.